As you board, please move across your car to make room for everyone, and kindly offer available seating to those needing special assistance. If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Howdy, hey, and welcome to another episode of Disney Assemble. I'm Troy.
And I'm Mimi.
And we are your happy little father-daughter podcast, here to create joy and share our love for all things Disney.
Disney Assembled is sponsored by our patrons over on Patreon. If you would like to join them, check out patreon.com/DisneyAssembled, or head over to our website, DisneyAssembled.com. Hit that Patreon button, and it'll send you right to that link to sign up.
Please do that. We really appreciate your consideration there. We're recording this episode
late
on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. We did not get this episode out this weekend like we normally do on our Sunday release. So this is going to be a midweek release.
But
maybe
I feel bad
tonight, maybe
because
tomorrow.
Because we haven't been on top of things recently. But
we have been on top of things. We were on top of a lot of things.
Right. Very, very busy.
But we did get an episode out this week. So we keeping our streak alive, excuse me, that we have not missed a week, continuing to get shows out. And this was important because we have a lot to talk about today. We think you're going to enjoy this episode because we're going to talk a lot about what?
We're going to talk about animatronics again. So we're going to bring back the animatronic bracket. Ooh, sorry.
Animatronic assault.
The animatronic bracket. And we're going to figure out what our favorite animatronic is in Hollywood Studios over in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at the animatronics and which rides are made better because of the animatronics, right? I think that was our criteria, right? Which attractions are enhanced the best by the animatronics that are in the attractions. So yeah, we'll do Animatronic Assault, Hollywood Studios edition this episode. There's also a lot of news that's been breaking lately, and we're not really a news show, but I think we do want to get some of our takes on some of the news that's come out recently. We'll have a Disney trivia question of the week. We'll have the answer to last week's trivia question. And Disney Dad Joke of the Week.
All
the good stuff that you have come to expect and enjoy out of a Disney Assembled episode. All
right. Yeah. Let's just jump in with the news,
a lot of stuff, yeah.
So you go first with the first piece of news.
Which piece of news do you want me to go with?
I want you to talk about the parks, because I really want to talk about the other thing that dropped today.
You want to talk about the other thing that dropped today? You want me to talk about it? So, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, June 28th is the opening date. Apparently, it is already sold out. You cannot get I don't think you need a reservation, but I think Magic Kingdom tickets are sold out for that day, and I don't know, you're not going to be able to ride it. So right. Basically, I think there are some previews for cast members and DVC members and
D23
Gold members, which I think is on June 21st, 22nd, maybe the week before.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be there.
So. Right. Another question on everyone's mind is, will Mimi be there? And the answer is no. By a hair.
No.
Literally by a hair.
Yeah, your trip that you're planning with your friends ends right before the D23 Gold access.
It does.
Yeah, and you are a D23 Gold member.
I am, so yeah. I could find a way to get us all on there.
Well, I think they're doing special tickets for that tomorrow, actually, the 15th, from the time of us recording this. So the chances of, even if you're a Gold member, getting access is going to be super low anyway. So
I think it's going to be a soft launch. I think it'll be open when we're there. Because if they're going to do Gold member previews, why not do a soft launch?
I think they'll be continuing to launch it, but I don't think they'll be having regular guests.
No, but I think there'll be like a virtual queue.
But what you will do is you will see the attraction in all its glory as intended.
Yeah.
And from the pictures that I've seen, it looks fantastic.
Gorgeous.
It looks beautiful. It looks gorgeous. I bet you at night, you need to take plenty of pictures, because I bet at night
it looks
really cool.
I hope it's lit up with like greens and purples. Not Mardi Gras colors, but just green and purple.
Yeah, I think it's going to have that good green and purple swamp colors.
Because that's the color of the swamp.
Well, that's park news I remember this week.
Yeah.
You want to talk about something else?
I do want to talk about the other thing that dropped this week. So there have been a few release dates recently published by Disney. One of them being the Inside Out release date, June 13th. And this isn't Disney, but a trailer for the Wicked movie dropped, which is sick. But what I'm really here to say is, here we are 4 years later, coming up on 4 years, we're coming full circle. The Agatha Harkness show now has a date. We are set for September 18th, a 2-episode release of Agatha all along.
Right.
Which is so crazy to me. Okay, so Marvel literally gagged us. Like, they are genius. This is Taylor Swift level Easter egg dropping because they kept changing the title of the show. Coven of Chaos, Darkhold Diaries, The Liar, The Witch, and the something else. Like, they kept changing the title, and everybody was really confused. And we thought that meant that the show wasn't in development because they kept changing it. And, you know, it's like, whatever, they can't decide on anything. No, it was all a big trick by Agatha. That is literally marketing genius. Like, it is so good. Like, I'm floored. I'm totally, totally floored. And like the way that Disney like announced it was like with these TikToks that like made it very evident that they were aware that they have done this before, that like they did it on purpose. Like, it, so Agatha all along, like, she's been tricking us with the title of the show. And now the show's coming out and it's going to have two episodes. And I'm so excited. Like, the marketing campaign for this show has started off with a bang. Yeah, and we had no idea.
I'm actually curious to see what they do with this show, because we haven't seen Scarlet Witch since the Doctor Strange Land of the Dead, whatever it was called.
And there's no confirmed
zombies, but the white Vision version of Vision is out there somewhere, and the regular Vision is not around anymore. So I'm just curious to see how they link it up with the rest of the MCU. You know, the, like, only
will it
movie
be a prequel? Will
I don't know if there's any other MCU stuff coming out other than
Deadpool
and Wolverine, and then Agatha in September. So we'll see how they start tying all this stuff together. I'm curious. I think it'll be good.
I know I said when Doctor Strange came out that I would not get my hopes up for another Scarlet Witch entity ever again, but unfortunately my hopes are now up. With the genius that is this marketing campaign, I am now thoroughly excited, anticipating Agatha Harkness, Agatha All Along, to be a good show, to fall in the footsteps of WandaVision, which actually changed my brain chemistry. That show literally changed me as a human being.
And I think it'll give new subscribers of Disney Plus a reason to go back and watch WandaVision,
which
is good for Disney Plus. So it's all good. Lots of important stuff. Yeah, we talked about the news. That's a change of pace.
We did.
And we normally don't do that, do we?
We normally don't.
We do have a Disney trivia question a week.
We do, yeah. So the last, it was the blue one, right?
Yeah.
Not the red one. Okay.
We did the first one.
So the question from last week.
We did not get, I don't think we got any answers.
That's okay.
Yep.
The answer from last week to the question that is this. In the film Muppets Most Wanted, the criminal Constantine resembles which Muppets character? The answer is Kermit. So if you've seen Muppets Most Wanted, which I have, you know that that Constantine is this, like...
Didn't he just have, like, a mustache?
No,
like
Kermit with a mustache? No. He's this, like, campy, like, Russian version of Kermit that has a mole.
A mole. Okay.
On the left side.
Yeah.
And,
So,
yeah. Constantine
the frog. There you go. We have another trivia question at the end of the show. You'll hear it and you'll answer it.
Yep.
And we'll give you the instructions on how to do that at the end of the show. We're going to do animatronic assault, Disney's Hollywood Studios version here, just because, and what we found from getting ready for this episode, really aren't a lot of animatronics in Hollywood Studios, are there?
It's not, but
relative to Magic Kingdom, which has a ton.
Yeah, there isn't a whole lot in Hollywood Studios when you put it out and list it in general. But there's a lot to look at in Hollywood Studios.
But it is a full day park. It is not a half day park.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to experience, but there isn't a whole lot to actually do, which I think is interesting.
Hollywood Studios is definitely one of our most...
It's probably my favorite park.
It's one of our favorite parks. It is one of the more fun parks for you and I to visit.
Right.
And speaking of fun, are you ready for this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Disney fans of all sorts, it is time for this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week. Mimi.
Yeah.
At Disneyland, the cast member who is in charge of making sure that the Pixar pal around, you know,
Mickey's death wheel.
The cast member in charge of making sure that the pal around is working never gets to meet the cast member who's in charge of making sure the King Arthur carousel is working. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, apparently they don't travel in the same circles. get it.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Carousel goes like one way.
Yeah, and the thing goes the other way. Yeah, physics joke.
That's this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week.
Involving Mickey's death wheel.
Yeah,
Wheel of screaming and crying.
That's right. It is the nightmare on the wheel of nightmares. If you have a dad joke of the Disney variety that you'd like us to consider using on the show, send us an email, DisneyAssembled@gmail.com, or you can shoot us a message on the socials, all at Disney Assembled, Threads, TikTok, X, Instagram, Facebook.
Yep.
Check out our Facebook page. Been doing more with the Facebook page.
Okay.
I have. So if you're not following us on Facebook, you should do that. Go on your Facebook account, do a search for Disney Assembled, follow us there. I want to get to that 1,000 followers.
On Facebook?
Yeah.
How many do we have right now?
Like 150.
Oh, okay.
So,
sick.
Yeah. So, all right, you people get on that. All right.
Yeah. Let's just jump in.
Animatronic Assault. Now, we did Animatronic Assault a couple of weeks ago. We did Magic Kingdom version. And the idea being that we would go through all the attractions and sort of, in our own opinion,
determine
pick out the best one.
Yeah.
And then after we do all four parks, the eight that we pick, because we did the top two from each park, we'll battle it out for who is the true reigning supreme king of animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump into this. All right, the first two attractions, Muppet Vision 3D and Star Tours.
Okay. So let's just like lay out which animatronics are actually in these attractions. So in Muppets, you have the little bunny guy.
Yeah.
Who's on stage right up in the top in the mezzanine.
Right.
And then on stage left in the mezzanine, you have the two heckler guys whose right. names are escaping me.
We do. And then you have the penguins who are the
orchestra right? at the beginning. Penguins. I forgot about them. And then at the very end, you've got the Swedish chef.
Yeah, because he's up in the
sound booth.
Right.
Yeah.
So Muppet Vision 3D, there is animatronics in there.
There are a few. Yeah.
Muppet Vision 3D has been around for a while.
But those animatronics look good. I will say they look very good for the age of the attraction. You know, like I think you the two heckler guys like look like Muppets. And I think what helps their animatronics look more realistic and more, you know, lively is because they're Muppets and Muppets right. don't look like people.
Of course.
You're not trying to recreate people in this. You're trying to recreate dolls.
Right.
Right. And I think it works very well. I think.
Right.
I think that they look really, really good and they move very smoothly and you don't hear them clicking or anything except for the penguins.
Right.
You do hear the penguins clicking, but that's because they have a more simple movement. They just kind of move, their eyes move and their beaks move. But the more advanced ones are definitely more advanced.
Yeah, that's true. All right. The other attraction we are matching up against Muppet Vision 3D is Star Tours, or as I like to call it, the sit down and throw up.
Okay.
I really get motion sick on Star Tours. I guess I just need to close my eyes. But if you close your eyes and you miss the reason to get on the ride, which is
the screen,
right? So maybe I just take the 3D glasses off. Maybe if that'll help. Then it'll just be blurry and that might make it worse. I don't know. But Star Tours has a few animatronics on it, right? Isn't there some in the pre-show?
Yeah, there's a decent amount of droids, including an R2-D2 droid, and a C-3 droid, like scattered throughout the queue. Just there are a few that talk.
And then C-3PO is actually in the attraction.
Right. And then C-3PO himself is actually in the attraction and he's operative the entire time.
And that's about it for animatronics. Yeah,
that's about it for Star Tours.
I'm going to give my opinion on this. Because this was sort of a criteria I used last time. If not for the Muppet animatronics, that attraction would be significantly less enjoyable.
Right.
Right.
It's the 4D effect.
Right. If not for the couple of animatronics on Star Tours, I don't think the attraction would be any less enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the animatronics on Star Tours adds a whole lot to the experience, but the animatronics in Muppet Vision are part of the show. I mean, without them, the show has to be completely different.
Right.
Right. So because of that, and because I just love Muppet Vision 3D, and I really am not a fan of Star Tours, I personally would pick Muppet Vision 3D out of these two.
Yeah, I think I would also have to go with,
This is exciting content. Exciting.
No, it really is exciting. I really am happy. I'm just having a long day of being a senior in May. Muppet Vision 3D is not, like you said, it's not the same show without the animatronics, right? Mm-hmm. And I think C-3PO doesn't, you said that they don't add anything to Star Tours. I think they definitely do. I think having something physical that is not a screen to look at, to ground yourself to, does definitely add to the attraction. And it's the only place that you see C-3PO throughout the entire Galaxy's Edge area, right?
But it could be a screen.
But yeah, so on that, I think, although they definitely add, their absence would not take away. The absence of the animatronics in Muppet Vision 3D would take away from what the core of the attraction is, like its purpose, its enjoyability level. I have to go with Muppets.
All right, very good. I think we agree on that. And we move on to the next pair. All right, the next two attractions on our list to battle it out is the Lightning McQueen Racing Academy and Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
This one's super easy for me.
Yeah, and but neither of these have a ton of animatronics. But
right.
But go for it.
Okay. Smuggler's Run is, you've got the one animatronic in the pre-show, and it's a good animatronic. You know, it looks real. It doesn't look like a robot.
Right,
you
the
know,
Hondo and
the
Anaka.
Hondo, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, whatever. But the Lightning McQueen animatronic looks exactly like Lightning McQueen, and it moves like Lightning McQueen. Like, I think that, although, like I've said, recreating humans and humanoid-like figures is really hard with animatronics to make them look natural. And when you have a more cartoony look, like the Tiana's Bayou Adventure ones, it's a little bit easier. But the Lightning McQueen one literally is like they picked him up out of the movie and they put him in real life. It is so smooth. The projection screen works really well for the eyes and for the mouth. And I don't know. I think that animatronic is like one of the coolest ones in the park. I'm totally fascinated by how realistic it looks and how movie accurate it looks. And just, I love that little guy. I love that little guy. I love that little attraction.
Yep.
It's so silly and kiddish and, you know, it's not everybody's favorite, but I have to go with Lightning McQueen Racing Academy. If for no other reason than the criteria we used for the last bracket, you have to completely change the entire experience if you took away the Lightning McQueen animatronic versus the Hondo animatronic that doesn't really add a whole lot.
The Hondo animatronic is part of the pre-show, but of course it could be done with a screen.
Right. Like
it didn't have to be an animatronic, but it's a very good animatronic. I mean, it is very lifelike. But again, going back to my criteria before, the Hondo animatronic isn't required for Smuggler's Run. But the Lightning McQueen animatronic, which I agree with you, is very well done. And I do enjoy the Racing Academy.
I love the Racing
Academy.
It is
a nice little break at the end of the, you know, in the back of the park, and you can sit down and get some air conditioning.
It's cute.
It's a cute little show. I'm agree with you. I think the Lightning McQueen Racing Academy, Lightning McQueen animatronic is going to take that battle from me. All right.
Yeah.
The next one is an interesting one because the two attractions battling it out are going to be the Toy Story Mania, because at the very end, you know, what is it? Squeaky?
No, Toy Story Mania.
No, Toy Story Mania has Mr. Potato Head.
Correct. In the middle of the queue line.
I was thinking of Sleeping Dog Dash. Right. So, but yeah, the Mr. Potato Head animatronic and Toy Story Mania. And then the other attraction is Rise of the Resistance, which has plenty of animatronics spread throughout the entire experience, from BB-8 in the pre-show.
Right. To everything in the middle.
Right. The you know.
Even the ride vehicle.
Right. There's the Hux and Kylo Ren and Stormtroopers. And
a Poe Dameron.
Because even the Stormtroopers, like in the, when you're captured, like that first room, all the ones that are sitting out there when you open the doors, some of them are moving.
So oh,
they're more statues, but they do move a little bit. So is the Poe Dameron an animatronic? No, it's more of a screen.
No, it's
right?
Not Poe Dameron. Yeah. It's Finn.
Finn. Yeah, Finn. There's a Finn one. Yeah. Okay. So
the AT-ATs move too.
What are your thoughts between Rise of Resistance and Toy Story Mania?
Okay. This one is really interesting for me because I have to do pros and cons. Pros and cons. Here we go. To do this. Pros for Rise. There's just way more of them. Just frankly, like based totally on numbers, most of the set pieces in that attraction are going to be animatronics. And the way that some of them move is super impressive. Like the AT-ATs shoot, obviously they don't really shoot, but like they move and then the blast like appears on the screen. And I think that or on like the projection. And I think that is like just so cool. And I think the BB-8 is very impressive. I think the Kylo Ren effect with the lightsaber that sometimes works is very impressive. Some of them look really, really good. That's all there is to it. Some of them just look really good. The cons to Rise, one, they don't always work. The Kylo Ren ones kind of fall flat, and they look, one, they don't look very realistic, but two, those are the ones that break down the most. And then I think the Finn animatronic looks absolutely nothing like a human being. And it really freaks me out every time I see it. Like when I find one, it like really scares me. Like, I don't want to see you. You don't look like a human being. Really all I got. Like, I think there's that. Well, Toy Story Mania.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm almost done. The Toy Story Mania, Mr. Potato Head. I think it's a more realistic, more impressive attraction overall. But I think that also comes with the fact that it's very limited in movement. There isn't a whole lot for it to break, right? The concept though is that it doesn't always on. It doesn't always work. And I think that if you have an interactive element like that, that is animatronic based, that looks very realistic, it has to work. And we rode Toy Story Mania two or three times and it didn't work like at all. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, going back to that same criteria, you can take the Mr. Potato Head out of Toy Story Mania and it literally does not change the attraction at all. It's in the queue line. Right. Versus Rise. Although the animatronics in Rise are not anywhere near as impressive or as reliable, even, they make the attraction.
Well, if we were doing a countdown of the parks where the animatronics break down the most, Hollywood Studios would probably win.
Oh, definitely.
Because you're right. Mr. Potato Head, he works, but then he's breaks down a lot. The one thing about Rise, it really frustrates me, is that for a ride that is not that old, those animatronics, not only do they break down a lot, which is embarrassing, but they seem to be like two generations behind on the technology.
Right.
I mean, it's like when you look at the characters, when Hux and Kylo, it's almost like they just took skins from the great movie ride, like the Wicked Witch or whatever, and they just re-costumed them.
No, literally. They look
and they move very older generation animatronic. Like they almost move like the witch does in the old Snow White ride where Kylo just turns and he just turns and it's really, I mean, the attraction itself is so impressive, and I think it is a fantastic attraction. But the animatronics on there, it seems like they cut corners, even though I'm sure they didn't. But you would think that it would be newer generation animatronics in that ride, and it just doesn't feel that way. However, I was just saying, you got two attractions here where the animatronics aren't working some of the time, but I agree with you. Toy Story Mania is not really about Mr. Potato. He's just there to entertain you while you're standing 90 minutes in the queue.
Right.
Right. Rise of Resistance. Rise of Resistance, every scene, every part from pre-show to the end
is reliable.
There's something on there with technology that most of those scenes have some form of animatronic in there. So I agree with you. I'm going to go with Rise of Resistance as well, because without the animatronics there, even when they're broken and they're on B mode, without them, it doesn't make sense.
There's no attraction.
Right. There's no story. So,
yeah. It definitely feels like they cut corners, specifically in the scene where it's Hux and Kylo Ren and they're facing outside and he's like, raise the shields. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Because they don't move. Like
the worst one is when the starfighter crashes and it looks like it's crashing behind him and he's waving forward.
Yeah. He's kind of moving.
That is just,
it looks lazy.
First of all, if that really happened, why wouldn't he get sucked into the vacuum of space?
Yeah.
You know,
that's kind of what happens. It just happens as you drive away. I just think that the whole attraction has been on B mode, C mode since like a year ago. And that's, Come on, people. Like, I know it's a really expensive attraction to run and that it takes a lot of manpower to keep it going. But like, seriously, it's only like 3 or 4 years old. Well, there's no reason for the entire scene where you go through the gun room doesn't work anymore. Has anybody noticed that?
Yeah, the guns don't fire. Yeah.
We didn't even go through them last time we were there. We didn't even get the lightsaber scene where he cuts through the ceiling. It just doesn't, like, the half of the... Anyway, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. But Rise will move on in the animatronic assault.
Yes.
All right. We have one more pair, and then we have a ninth one that'll get an automatic buy. But the next pair is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and Slinky Dog Dash.
Okay. So the animatronic at the end of Slinky Dog Dash is the Wheezy animatronic, and he sings, "You Got a Friend in Me." And I know that It's a very small detail, but I think it's a really important detail to add to the end of Slinky Dog Dash. And then Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is a dark ride attraction, which means almost everything in it is going to be an animatronic of some kind.
There's not a lot of animatronics in it. There is the Daisy Duck scene.
Daisy Duck's an animatronic. Mickey and Minnie are animatronics in the underwater scene and the jungle scene. There's the whole tornado. There are animatronics in the opening scene.
On the very end when they're picnicking.
And then at the very end.
Yeah.
So I know that the criteria that we've been using is, if you take them away, does it change the attraction?
And Chewy. I think that, there's Chewy at the very end too.
And there's Chewy. Yeah. And I think that although this is a really, we've used this and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, even though if you take out the Mickey and Minnie's animatronics, it would completely change the attraction and ruin it in a way that it really wouldn't if you took Wheezy out of Slinky Dog Dash. The unreliability of Mickey and Minnie's animatronics, I can't justify it. They rarely ever work. The tornado scene is, like, there's always something wrong with it.
It's worked every time we've been on there.
It's worked every time we've been on there, but it doesn't consistently. I see a video almost every single day of the projection screens don't work, or the audio's not correct, or something is wrong with the animatronics. I also think that not all the animatronics look like the characters. Like, I think the Daisy Duck is really cute. I love her a lot.
Well, the projection screen faces are problematic.
The projection screen faces look so bad. The design of the characters in that first scene with the car look bad. It doesn't look good, guys. And it looks good in the jungle scene and the underwater scene, but it doesn't look good anywhere else. And I think that I don't know. I like the Wheezy better. It's more reliable. It's smoother. It looks better. It's cuter. I don't know. Mickey Minnie's is probably my favorite attraction in the entire resort, but the animatronic, like, I can recognize that the animatronics were not lazy, but subpar.
So what are you going with?
I'm going to go with Slinky Dog Dash.
Now we're going to have a problem.
Because we've established this
precedent.
Because
I am not going to go with Slinky Dog Dash on this. Okay. Because as much as the Wheezy thing is, you know, it doesn't break down and it's always working, it doesn't matter. I think it's just a cute little addition at the very end. But to me, it just doesn't matter. And I don't know. I think which ride is enhanced the most by the animatronics? And I have to say it's Mickey and Minnie's, not Slinky Dog Dash, because Slinky Dog Dash is just a roller coaster. It just happens to have an animatronic. It's kind of like when we did, you know what that is? It's the Seven Dwarfs. The whole ride goes through, and at the very end, there's some animatronics at the very end. And they're impressive, but they didn't win. And so I can't agree with you. How are we going to settle this debate? Because I can't.
Rock, paper, scissors.
We're seriously going to rock, paper, scissors this.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay. I won, but we're going to go with Mickey and Minnie's anyway.
So we went through all that just for you to agree with me. All right. We're going to go with Mickey and Minnie's. All right. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way back up. The one that did not have a part in her group, and we added this one because we did Cosmic Rays. We did Sunny Eclipse at Cosmic Rays. We added DJ Rex from Oga's Cantina. That's an animatronic. It's a popular animatronic. It always works. He's dropping the tunes. He's making you feel good about slamming back your $20 beverage.
Right. But does he change the vibe of the attraction?
So
would removing him change the
attraction? He's going up against Mickey and Minnie's.
Would removing him change the attraction?
Actually, is he going up against Mickey and Minnie's?
I thought he went up against Muppet
Vision. All right, he's going to go up against Muppet Vision. All right. DJ Rex is popular. I know your thoughts on Oga's. You've been there. You've done that. It's not your thing.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've been there. I've done that. I'll go if your brother wants to go. But I don't
really
have to go to Oga's. It's crowded. It's okay. But I don't need to do it every time. Mm-hmm. But DJ Rex, and he used to be on Star Tours. He used to be the pilot on Star Tours.
Right.
But then there's Muppet Vision 3D.
I just think the Muppets are so in character and so immersive.
And there's more of them.
I think Oga's is an already very immersive experience that exists in that context. It is already immersive, regardless of if there is an animatronic Rex DJing in the cantina. The whole thing is immersive with or without him versus Muppets becomes this very, it becomes a different level of intimacy with the movie that you're watching versus like, okay, let's think about Mickey's PhilharMagic. It's a great show. I really love it, but it's not interactive. You can fall asleep versus Muppets because there is physical things to look at. Very different.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go with Muppet Vision 3D as well because Oga's is still Oga's, even if DJ Rex wasn't there. And again, there is no Muppet Vision 3D show without the animatronics of Muppet Vision 3D.
Right.
So we're going to go with Muppet Vision 3D. All right. The next is Lightning McQueen Racing Academy versus Rise of the Resistance.
I got to go with Lightning. So now I think we can rule out the, is it the same attraction with or without the animatronics? Because at this point, they all are. They all don't exist without their animatronics. I think now it comes down to quality. The fact of the matter is Lightning McQueen works. He's screen accurate and he's adorable. Lightning McQueen. Boom. I love
the only thing about Rise that gets me is when you're captured by the First Order and you enter and they get that room with all the stormtroopers, but they're not really, they're moving a little bit,
but not enough. Like those could just be like skins with helmets on.
Listen, I think Rise of Resistance. If someone said you get to ride one thing, pick Rise of Resistance or Lightning McQueen, I'm going to go on Rise of Resistance.
Right. And I'm not saying that you would pick Lightning McQueen. I'm just saying that the Lightning McQueen animatronic is 1,000 times better than anything Rise has sitting in there. It is just so screen accurate and it's so smooth and it works all of the time.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you.
There's no B plot.
That may be a shocker to our listeners, but I'm going to go with Lightning McQueen as well. And he will move on to the next round. And so now we have three left. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which has not come up against any competition since it won the first round. It now goes up against Muppet Vision 3D. And then the winner of that will take on Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. So Mickey and Minnie's Muppet Vision, what are your thoughts?
I think, again, going down to quality and reliability. Mickey and Minnie's breaks down a lot. And although they have some really, really cute animatronics, like the, you know, the jungle, the water, and the car, and the picnic scene moves me physically. It physically moves me. Okay, it brings a little tear to my eye. I have to stay with the Muppets. I don't know. The Muppets just are better animatronics. They are the tried and true. Make a robot that looks a lot like your character with no projection, no technology to ruin it. Just good old fashioned creepy faces.
You've got real Muppets.
Real Muppets.
Versus projection screen Mickey and Minnie.
That's a really, really good way to put it. It's the real Muppets. It's the real Lightning McQueen versus like a copy of them.
Right.
You know, you feel like you're actually looking at the Muppets versus like, oh, it's a Mickey. You know,
well, here we go. We have our final two. So Muppet Vision 3D and Lightning McQueen Racing Academy will move on to the, you know, the championship round once we get through all four parks. But we do have to decide the winner of Disney Hollywood Studios. And it is going to be either Muppet Vision 3D or Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy, who will be the animatronic assault champion of Disney's Hollywood Studios. Mimi,
I want you to go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, because I have my thoughts, but I want to...
First of all, before I tell everybody my thoughts, I'm going to say this. I have shocked myself as we've talked through this, because we did not ahead of time decide who was going to win this.
No,
we never do. We're doing this in real time. And as we've talked through this, I am a little surprised. Like, I don't think I would have imagined when we started this.
That
Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy and Muppet Vision 3D would be the last two remaining animatronic assault
contestants
from Hollywood Studios. I really didn't.
I fought for this.
But as we have talked about this, I think we have good choices here. I think we have good, solid choices. And here's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Muppet Vision 3D. And here's why. There's more of them. Lightning McQueen, it's just him. And I know it's not his fault, right? He didn't design the ride. But they're actually... I'm going to stick with Muppet Vision 3D because there's just more of them.
Okay.
I'm interested if you have an argument for Lightning McQueen, because I can also make a good argument for Lightning McQueen winning. But I want to hear yours.
My argument for Lightning McQueen is that he is more recognizable as a character. Little boys and little girls walk into that attraction and he reveals himself and it's just, oh my God, it's Lightning McQueen. Oh my God, oh my God. Versus in Muppets, there's no real huge cheering coming from the target audience of Walt Disney World, which, let's admit it, it's children. It's the target audience. It's the kids. It's not us. Sorry. You know, if you had a Muppet, if you had a Kermit, okay, maybe. But we've got these like B characters, right? Characters that I love, right? But characters that don't light up a room in the same way Lightning does. My second argument for Lightning McQueen, he does more. He does more. The heckler guys stand up, kind of. They kind of like look around. The bunny kind of looks around. Granted, okay, the Swedish chef shoots up the theater, which is probably not politically correct anymore. But, you know, he moves around, but he remains seated. Lightning McQueen drives. He races. You get to see him race. Do you know how cool that is? You get to see the screen accurate character doing the thing that he does in the movie.
You're hurting my brain. You're hurting my brain because now I'm starting to think that maybe I need to go with Lightning McQueen. Laser Academy.
He races. That is the thing that he does. That is the thing that everybody wants to see him do. And you get to see him do it.
Listen, I have a saying I use it at work and I forgot it until just now.
No.
More is not better. Better is better.
Right.
And as I think about the animatronics in Muppet Vision, they are old.
They're good, but they are old.
They're not as smooth and as up to date and as, you know, lifelike, if you want to call it that.
Because he's a car.
As Lightning. Without the Muppet animatronics, you can still watch the 3D show.
Right.
Without Lightning, there is no Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy.
Right.
Cannot believe I'm going to do this.
Lightning McQueen. I think he could win the whole thing. That animatronic is so screen accurate, Papa.
I think you're right. I think I'm going to change my mind. We're going to go with Lightning McQueen Racing Academy as the champion of the animatronic assault Disney Hollywood Studios edition. I feel like I've betrayed a friend.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
I feel like I've turned my back on an old pal.
I feel like definitely feel that way because I love the Muppets and I will not skip them. I refuse to skip them.
Hitting me in the nostalgia.
But the Lightning McQueen, he looks so good. He looks just like movie Lightning McQueen.
He does. All right, we have a winner. Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. Little claps for you. Congratulations. That's not little claps. That is
big sound wave claps.
Broke everyone's earballs. All right. We have a trivia question of the week that we have to get to, right? Mimi, why don't you get to that? And then we'll tell people how they can get in touch with us and support the show.
This week's trivia question is, in Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue, what do the fairies use to go rescue Tinkerbell when they can't fly in the rain? One more time, in Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue, what do the fairies use to go rescue Tinkerbell when they can't fly in the rain? So if you guys have any opinions on our Lightning McQueen discussion or an answer to this week's trivia question or any other comments, questions, or dad jokes, send them in on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, all at Disney Assembled, or you guys can send us an email, disneyassembled@gmail.com. But if you guys want to support the show further, the link to our TeePublic, Patreon, buy us a Dole Whip, all that other fun stuff is on the website, disneyassembled.com. Make sure to go check it out.
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel as well. If you haven't subscribed there, we'd really appreciate your consideration of the YouTube channel. And of course, if you're listening to us on Spotify, you can answer this week's trivia question by going to the interact section and typing in your answer there. You can do that.
Yep.
Of course, the best thing you can do to help us create more joy in the world is help us spread the word about Disney Assembled. Do that by sharing it on all your social networks. And if you haven't done so already, we'd really appreciate your consideration for leaving us a 5-star rating and writing a review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. Writing a review goes a long way to help other people find the show.
All right. It does. High five.
High five. Good job this week. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry that this episode came out a little late, but again.
I'm very sorry.
We got it out, and it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for us. You're graduating from high school very soon. I'm wrapping up the school year at my job. rolling into the summer, you're getting ready to go off to college. We got a busy summer with your brother with all of his activities. So we're going to continue to try to get out there. I know that there are a number of people who've reached out to us and that we've been in touch with about being guests on the show. We have not forgotten about any of you.
There's just a lot going on. Once the school term
sort of comes to a close and calms down, we'll have a little bit more time to plan those things out. So we appreciate your patience there. All right.
Yep.
One more high five. Good job.
Heck yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen and Disney fans of all sizes and shapes, we really appreciate you listening this week. We hope this episode brought a smile to your face, some extra magic to your day, and that all-important sprinkle of pixie dust to your week. Thank you again for listening. And until next time,
see you real soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please collect your belongings, watch your head and step, and take small children by the hand.